So the question is this: how do you become a healthy, lean and fit vegan, always having fun and making a sustainable lifestyle you enjoy living? If you want to know the secrets to losing fat effortlessly, building vegan muscle and positively impacting the people around you every single day, then this is the right podcast for you. I am Fritz Horstmann. This is the Vegan Fitness Podcast. All right, welcome back to the Plant-Based Fitness Secrets Podcast. The podcast for vegans, vegetarians, people who want to eat a plant-based diet and crush their the muscle gain and fat loss and health goals. And if you've been following along for a couple years or months, you know I do a lot of solo episodes, meaning dissecting certain topics and mistakes that people are making when they're trying to get fit on a plant-based diet. And I love these solo episodes and they will keep coming. However, I've realized I want to give you guys a bit of a different way of doing the podcast, maybe more engaging way, a more conversational way. And also recently I started working together with an amazing person, Patrick, who's here with us today, and been working in the team for quite a bit now. And we've just realized we've been working together very closely on the content side of things, on the coaching side of things. And we just had a moment a couple of weeks ago where we realized, hey, actually our talks are really insightful, and wouldn't it be amazing to kind of share these on the podcast and deep dive into certain areas as a team, and also giving me the opportunity to kind of answer the most pressing questions and doing it in a more conversational style. So that's why I want to introduce it to Patrick Maxwell today. He's on the show. How you doing, man?
Hey, man. Thanks for the introduction. Yeah, it's great to be here. As you said, we've been working together for a bit of time now. And especially over the last couple of weeks, we've just been having so many conversations where we've said, like, man, we should really record this and put it out there. I think a lot of people could benefit from it. So yeah, I think it's going to be some nice, as you say, raw conversations. Yes. Just diving deep into topics that we're really interested and passionate about, that can hopefully get some good insights into the way we think and help some people out as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So what's your background? How did you get into kind of plant-based fitness and health? And then also how did we meet as well? I think it might be interesting.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So I've been into fitness since I was about 16, was my first day that I stepped into the gym. And I've kind of been training since then, obviously going through periods of time where I was training a bit more and training a bit less. But that's sort of where my whole fitness journey started. And then about 6 years ago was when I made the switch to eating plant-based. I grew up in a family where both my mom and my brother, they were both vegetarian, their whole lives. So there wasn't really ever much meat at home growing up. I would have occasionally get something for myself, but like my mom would always just cook vegetarian food. And going out to restaurants and that sort of thing, I would eat some burgers or whatever, but there was never like a huge amount of meat in my diet growing up. And then, yeah, about 6 years ago, I just made the switch to go fully vegan. And since then I've been eating, yeah, mainly plant-based diet. So it's been about 6 years where I've been, yeah, following that and just training a lot as well. So that's sort of been my journey to here.
Nice. And yeah. What got you into kind of like coaching and training other people along the way as well?
Yeah, so I've always been very passionate, obviously, about fitness. That's sort of been the main role of my day-to-day life is going to the gym. And along the way, I've always sort of just been helping people out. And about 2 years ago, I was working, you know, as a content creator, and just spending a lot of time and having a lot of conversations with people that were starting out in their fitness journey. And I just realized, you know, over the years, I've accumulated so much knowledge as using myself, I think, as a guinea pig to test out all these different ways of training, different ways of eating, different supplements and that sort of thing. You know, I just had a lot of knowledge to share with people. So that's sort of how I got started into coaching and helping other guys. Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, and also on the podcast, I mean, you guys can't see it, but he's definitely ripped. We always make jokes that it's like a half natty. Like you're definitely natty. I mean, I've seen it. I've lived with you for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
And you're just very dedicated, and you like to do CrossFit. You like to do strength training. Mm-hmm. So you combine kind of like a functional training approach with lifting for looks, which definitely. I really like. Yeah. And the way you approach things and your health, it's just, you can tell that you got your stuff together, and it was very inspirational for me, I guess, as well, because I mean I've been doing like weightlifting in the gym for like 6-7 years now plus. Mm. I've done some like Muay Thai in between. I've done some more cardio related training, functional training in between.
Yeah,
also tried a lot of different things like you, but I've never really committed to CrossFit or like a full-on functional approach for a bit. So now actually we want to I want to give it a test run. I know I've talked about CrossFit a lot on this podcast and kind of maybe also bashed it a bit.
Mm.
Which I still stand by. So I think my opinion hasn't really changed in the terms that it's very high injury risk.
Yeah,
that's the first thing, right?
Mm.
Because form is really like a second thought. It's like an afterthought with CrossFit, right?
Yeah.
And that's the first thing. So I'm aware of this risk.
Mm.
And since I've been training for almost a decade, I can kind of mitigate that with the right recovery techniques,
yeah,
with knowing how to do proper form and not sacrificing that. But if a beginner goes in and does it, it's just very dangerous. So I stand by that.
Yeah.
I also stand by the fact that it's a group class. Obviously, you're working by yourself, like each set, right? But it's still like everyone does the same thing.
Mm.
And yes, there's different levels, like you said, like there's some people do the muscle ups and then some people just do the pull ups.
Yeah.
But it's still not really tailored to each individual in terms of what's best for you right now.
True. Yeah.
So I still stand by that CrossFit for most people listening here is not the best choice initially, but then as you get more intermediate and yeah, maybe you want to switch things up, maybe you get bored.
Exactly.
You can switch to that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely great to have that base of knowledge and being in the gym by yourself, and following that and sort of having a really good base of fitness and lifting as well. Having that form and technique down before going into CrossFit, I think is definitely a huge benefit I noticed as well. Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, then you, as you say, you do lessen the chance of injuries and that sort of thing. So yeah, I would definitely, maybe not if you've never done any sort of gym or fitness before, it's maybe not the best thing to dive straight into. But for sure, after a couple of years of, you know, being in the gym, it is nice just to change things up a bit, give your body a bit of a different stimulus as well, and just change things up a bit. Yeah.
Hey, real quick, guys, if you think about how you found this podcast, probably someone told you about it, you found it on Instagram or somewhere online, and the only way this thing grows is with word of mouth. So I don't do any ads on here and don't do any sponsorships. So if you've been enjoying the podcast so far, my only ask for you is to continue to pay it forward, tell a friend, make a post about it, subscribe to the show, leave a rating and review. That way we can help more people. You put out some good karma for yourself as well, and more people will learn about the power of health.
Yesterday we were having a really interesting conversation just about training, the intensity that people are training with, in terms of training closer to failure as well, and the kind of weights that people are using. So how often would you say is a good idea to train to failure or going close to failure?
Yeah, so it's interesting. We talked about this in the context of our clients, right? So we want the best for our clients. We want them to see the best results possible in the shortest amount of time possible. And sometimes we just see that they are holding themselves a bit back by not going intense enough in their workouts.
Mm.
So meaning completing the given sets and reps in a given workout, but then just doing it with a weight that's not challenging.
Mm.
So using a simple weight that's is not as scary to use maybe, or it's easy for them. And that will not have the same effect as if you use a weight that's kind of close to failure. So
exactly.
To answer your question, I think training to failure is definitely necessary to some degree to see results for sure. How close to failure should you train? If you go into a workout and you have, let's say, three sets of a certain exercise, how I like to think about it is for the first, like, the first sets of the exercise, let's say it's three sets. The first two sets, you want to be training close to failure.
Yeah.
So leaving one or two reps in the tank, basically. So if it says 3 times 10,
yeah,
then you should be doing the first two sets, you should be doing like 8, maximum 9 reps with a certain weight. That should feel challenging. So you should really only have one or two reps left in the tank. That's what the challenging weight is.
Yeah.
That's also like quick hack here. I've been traveling for the last couple of years and been switching gyms quite a few times. And a lot of people would kind of struggle with that because, okay, the gym, the weight I used in this gym with the cable machine is not the same. The cable machine is so different, right?
Yeah.
It's insane. So the way I gauge that is, okay, I want to choose a weight where you, where I have one or two reps left in the tank.
Exactly.
So it's really universally applicable.
Yeah.
And then the last set of every work exercise, in my opinion, and also working with an IFBB pro, a bodybuilding, a Swiss bodybuilding pro, he taught me that, that the last set should be till failure.
Yeah.
Because then you can really make sure you fully exert the muscle. And since it's the last set, it doesn't affect the rest of the of the exercise.
Yeah.
If you do the first set till failure, then the sets after, you'll feel like run down, burned out.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's, I think if you listen to this right now and you're wondering how hard should I push myself, am I pushing myself hard enough? I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago as well. If you are not looking forward to your rest periods, then you're doing something wrong.
Exactly.
In between sets.
Yeah. Yeah. So for a new person going into the gym, obviously sometimes it can be a bit intimidating. What's your advice for finding a good weight for them that's going to challenge them and bring them close to that failure, but that's not going to be too light or too heavy? Would you recommend doing like a warm-up set first with just a light weight just to get a feel for it, and then seeing kind of based on that if they should go a bit heavier?
Yeah, I think that's a great way of doing it. I think when you're doing barbell exercises and you're more of a beginner, you can just use the barbell at first because it's 20 kilos, right? Yeah. So I think 45 pounds, only the bar alone. For other exercises, yeah, I would recommend doing like one warm-up set or maybe two. Just find your groove. I think the first week of exercising in general, you just gotta find your weights.
Yeah.
There's no way for me to say, okay, hey, you can do 16 pounds, you can do 30. Obviously, as a beginner, probably more on the lower end.
Yeah.
But I think one or two warm-up sets, gauging where you're at. And then how do you gauge? Do you think about, okay, how far away am I from the RPE scale, meaning how many reps I have left in the tank?
Yeah.
So let's say you use the 15 pounds, right? But you feel, oh, I could have done 5-6 more reps.
Yeah.
Right? Then that means you can increase by quite a bit, and you can work your way up.
Yeah.
And once you have that set after, let's say, a week, then you have your like set point, and then you can just increase from there.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that ties in quite nicely to people who are, you know, training regularly, but not necessarily seeing great results or fast results, or maybe not seeing any results at all. And that's obviously linked to the amount that they're training, but also the intensity that they're putting in. So maybe they're going to the gym regularly, but they're just not training with the right intensity. Do you see that quite often?
Yes. Yes, I do. Unfortunately, right? I had a call, I think, yesterday, where one lady who was applying to work with us was saying that she was forcing herself to go to the gym, even though she's not seeing results.
Yeah. Wow.
Right. So, I mean, it's great because she said she knows it's good for her. But because she's not seeing results, it's like a chore. It's something she doesn't look forward to.
Yeah.
And it could be many reasons, right? I mean, maybe you can also share what you've kind of seen with your people you've worked with. I think intensity is definitely one of them.
Yeah.
I think so, for sure. Probably one of the biggest ones. Combined with progression, so getting better every week.
Exactly.
That's also why group classes are sometimes not the best, because you just go in and kind of do the same thing every week.
Yeah.
You don't really measure.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those two are the biggest ones. Have you seen any other reasons maybe? Like, how is it even possible? How can you go to the gym and not see results?
Yeah. So it sort of stumped me when we spoke about it a bit yesterday, because I think, as you were saying, people that maybe are training, and if you're not like super excited for your rest time, you're probably just not training hard enough. If you get to the end of your session and you haven't broken a sweat, for example, you're probably just not training hard enough. So I think the question does really just come down to the intensity that you're putting in to that, you know, whether it's 30, 45 or an hour in the gym. It just comes down to the intensity. I mean, we recorded a video last week where we did a 15-minute workout and you were like drenched in sweat by the end of it. And so it definitely is possible to, you know, it doesn't really matter the amount of time that you're putting in, but for sure the intensity that you're training with and how hard you're pushing yourself during that session.
Yes, that's why I love supersets as well, mm-hmm. meaning... Like supersets are, you do one exercise and then you don't take rest and you do another exercise. That's kind of not the same muscle group, ideally.
Yeah.
You can also do the same muscle group, but and then you take the rest after.
Yeah.
And then you actually realize, okay, like how much workload can I put into a session?
Mm.
It's all about efficiency, right?
Yeah.
You could be going to the gym for 60 minutes.
Mm.
You could be doing like one set and then sit on the phone for 3 minutes. Another set, another 5 minutes on the phone, or talk to someone for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it's just the efficiency per minute is very low.
Yeah.
Versus you do supersets, right?
Mm.
So in 2 minutes, you do two exercises. Like you can save a lot of time if you're a busy person listening to this, like if you have things in your life going on. I think you can realize that intensity and then also making your workouts more efficient. Meaning using every minute you have there.
Yeah.
It's gonna just basically, if you take two people and they have 60 minutes both, and one person just does supersets, the other person doesn't, like on average the one person will burn way more fat and more progress.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a great question. So in general, if you zoom out, you just wanna do better every week.
Mm-hmm.
That's like what you want to think about every week, every month, every year.
Yeah.
You want to do a bit better. So when you are still a beginner or a novice, you can definitely add kind of weight to the bar or pick heavier dumbbells or pick heavier resistance bands probably every single week. Like that should definitely be possible. As you get more intermediate, maybe it's more every couple weeks. And then I guess you get more advanced, it's maybe every month.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I can add like 5 pounds every month to my bench press, like I'll be a happy man, right?
Yeah.
But definitely like zooming out, just to make it simple, try to get better every week, not just by the weights you're using, but also the amount of reps you're doing. So if you usually did, let's say 3 sets of 10, if you do 3 sets of 11 in the week after, that's great, that's progression.
Exactly.
Or doing one more set,
and
that's also a massive increase in workload.
Yeah.
You can also play around with rest times, like having shorter rest times means obviously also getting fitter.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you listen to this right now and you're kind of stuck with your physique, you feel like things are not moving forward in your exercise, obviously nutrition plays a huge role too, right? But if you're stuck, then look at, okay, I'm actually doing more than last month.
Yeah.
Right? Which is another caveat there. We talked to a lot of people, and I also have a lot of friends who, they also ask me, hey, like, how are you like so like in shape year round? And like, I'm struggling to even like get some momentum going and get solid results consistently. Then I just ask them, hey, like how often do you train, let's say per year consistently?
Yeah.
And then they tell me, oh yeah, like sometimes I have like 2 weeks on, then I have like 4 weeks off. And then if you look at the year, it's like 52 weeks and maybe they've trained 20 of them.
Yeah.
Like twice a week. So that's huge. That's a huge difference.
Exactly.
And I know it's always boring to say, but consistency is where it compounds.
For sure.
And like, I'm just a maniac. I've been training for like 6-7 years.
Yeah.
I've never missed this fucking session. So, I mean, there's no way I'm not gonna have some results, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I'm the same. And you know, even if you don't necessarily need to be training every day of the week or even 5 days a week, but you know, as long as you are getting at least two sessions in, I think during the week, you know, you can still make progress or at least maintain your physique once you've built it up to that sort of point.
What have you found for you, which kind of exercise regimen gave you the best results since you've been training for quite a bit now as well?
Yeah, so that's interesting. And as we talked about earlier, I wouldn't necessarily recommend what I'm doing now to someone who's just starting out. I've obviously been through a lot of different periods of time where my training's changed quite a lot. So I started out, you know, with regular hypertrophy training. I've gone through, you know, all the different kind of bro splits, push-pull splits, that sort of thing. And in the last 2 years or so, I started doing CrossFit as well. But however, I didn't just solely do CrossFit. I worked it slowly into my routine, my existing gym routine. So at the moment, I'm doing about 2 or 3 days a week of CrossFit training, and then supplementing about two to three days as well of regular gym full body days. Yeah. So, and that's sort of the routine that I found works best for me where I am right now as well. Again,
how do you, it's good that you say the caveat. How would you kind of recover from that, so making sure you don't overtrain yourself?
Yeah, I think nutrition definitely plays a big part in that, and making sure that you're very aware of the different training days and what sort of muscle groups you're hitting as well. So I'm very aware if, for example, if a CrossFit session is hitting very hard on my shoulders, then obviously I won't go and train shoulders in the gym the next day. So that's one thing that it's good to be very conscious about. And then for sure, I think nutrition plays a big part in just making sure that you're eating enough. And maybe this is a discussion for another podcast, but making sure that you're fueling yourself properly before and after your workout, just to make sure that, yeah, you're giving the your body the right nutrients that it needs to perform in the gym, but also to recover from it afterwards. So I think that's probably been the biggest thing. You know, we can talk about sauna and ice bath and these sort of things for recovery, but I think it just comes back to the basics of making sure you're getting enough sleep and making sure that you're eating really well at the same time.
This is turning to a CrossFit channel now officially. But I do want to report back on that. I think what I like to do on these podcasts as well, give like reviews of certain things I've tested and tried. And I think CrossFit definitely one of the things I want to kind of share my insights on as well.
Yeah.
Which definitely kind of segues into like a bit of another part of, okay, why, which is maybe the overarching topic of this episode. You're exercising, but you're not seeing results, right? So we've covered a lot like over the past minutes. And what we just talked about is an interesting piece, which is avoiding overtraining.
Yeah.
Right. So I think in a funny way, people who don't see results from exercise, a lot of them also kind of have a tendency of overtraining, which I've just seen. Like, it's not something I make up. Like, we talk to hundreds and hundreds of people like every month.
Yeah.
People wanting to work with us or just engaging with the content. And and I get like literally hundreds of DMs every month saying, oh, like, since changing my training to doing less, like, I'm actually seeing more results. And especially,
yeah,
I think especially women kind of are also prone to that. So doing yoga, doing Pilates, doing strength sessions, and then also like running, and then not seeing results, right? And overtraining is an interesting one because the motivation is there, which is really like props to that, respect, right? It's better than just sitting on a couch all day, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
But your body can't handle it. Your body can only handle a certain amount of workload, and the more you overexercise, there's a lot of effects on your, especially as a woman, on your hormones, right? Yeah. A lot of people, a woman lose their periods. If you think about professional athletes, like female professional athletes that do like Olympics and everything, I can bet everything I have that they all unfortunately have lost their period, because they are over, like, training so much and they're so lean and everything. It also increases, obviously, your water retention in your body because it increases your cortisol levels, your stress levels, and because you're just your muscles are constantly sore and working, your body just produces a lot of extra fluid, and then in a funny way you actually gain weight and you look more flabby or soft if you overtrain. And obviously you're tired, right? You may be overeating because you train so much, and then you overshoot your calories. So looking at that, I think, is also crucial. More is not always the answer. Less is more. Less is more, especially in exercise. If you do more, if you do like 3 sessions a week, like you're in a good spot, or you can do 4, you can do 5. I think the moment you go beyond, like as a woman, the moment you go beyond 4 days of exercise per week, my opinion is already kind of suboptimal kind of amount. For men, I think we can do for sure 5 times or more, depending on level of experience as well.
Definitely.
And you can mix and match. You can have, you can do Pilates and strength training. So that definitely works, I think. But it's important to look at overtraining. So if you're currently training a lot and you're stuck, maybe do a bit less.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I think one question, just to sort of wrap things up, is if you personally were training every day, or not every day, but you know, training regularly, and you still weren't seeing any results at all, would you still keep training?
Damn, that's a tough one, because it's so much time that goes into it, right?
Yeah,
like it's hours and hours you could save. I think I would still go, because it just makes me feel amazing. Like I feel just amazing after, and if you do a lot of mental work during the day, thinking a lot and just solving problems with your brain, I think going into your body and being able to exert that, I think, is amazing. So it would obviously would suck, right, if you don't see results, but I would still go. I would still go,
just for the mental and physical benefits. I think it's funny, as you say, like it's weird to, and maybe difficult to imagine and to think about, but for sure I would still just go, because of how good it makes me feel afterwards, I think, physically, even if I didn't have a pump. but also you know, mentally, for me it's just a great place to clear your head and, you know, have a bit of a battle and feel like you've achieved and won something. So I would probably still keep training.
It's a great question. Great question to end the podcast, for sure. So thanks for joining me today. And
thank you.
It will be a pleasure, because we continue these.
Definitely.
And we'll have more of these together. Let us know if you enjoy them. You can leave a rating and review on iTunes. I think we're approaching over 500 reviews, if I'm not mistaken. So I appreciate each one of you subscribing as well, so you don't miss an episode. And thank you so much for your attention. Let's keep getting those V-gains and save the planet. Talk soon. Peace out.
Yes, what did you think? What an amazing episode again. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please do me a favor and subscribe to my podcast and rate it on iTunes. It's very much appreciated. We'll hear each other in the next episode. Until then, keep up the vegan vibes.